John, and verses 18 to 20. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world sees me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. The 14th of John, verses 18 to 20. The Lord had finished his work. He had done with the world. From this 15th chapter onward, he has nothing to do with the world. He's finished it. He makes that a solemn prayer in the 17th chapter. I pray not for the world, but for those whom thou hast given me out of the world. Thine they were, but thou gavest them me. He prayed for them. All of the scriptures is written for them. All the promises are theirs. He's gone to prepare a place for them. He'll come again and bring them to himself. And it is these few disciples that matter are the nucleus of the Church of God to which he is speaking. But it is remarkable how little they learned. It was really that the Holy Ghost should be sent to teach them. But they'd been with them all the while, with the Lord Jesus, and yet they knew but little. Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And then there was a kind, loving reproof. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. For they were comfortless. He had told them that he was going away from them. And although the world knew him not, yet his disciples knew him. John says in the first chapter that we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of truth and grace and truth. We knew him, saw his glory when he was here. And it was a great cause of grief to them that he said he must go away. They seem to understand but very little, literally. As you read the next chapter or two, you will see how the Lord in his love was going to deal with their infirmities. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come unto you, not in his person. He'll not come into this world again until he comes at the last day. But he'll come by sending the Holy Spirit, as in the 26th verse. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Well, it is a mercy to be comfortless because of the absence of the Lord. There's no substitute for him. It's a comfort like which there's nothing else. It's a spiritual comfort. It comes through the channel of the Lord Jesus. It is the exact opposite to the condition of misery into which men have brought themselves through sin in the fall and in their daily transgressions. I will not leave you comfortless. And in the 16th chapter he says this, and ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man takes. Made himself known unto us, if we are seeking first the kingdom of God before all else, if we are made willing to sell all that we have and to buy that one field in which was that rich pearl, then we shall be sorrowful when the Lord is absent. These disciples feared that he was gone forever. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world sees me no more. Poor world. Poor world. There they are, going after all vanity, heaping up all material things and riches, and while they're given to us for use, and yet, my friends, the root, money is the root of all evil. And it is difficult for a rich man to enter into the kingdom and to be without Christ, without hope, without any desire, without any knowledge of him, to die as we are born, O Solomon. The shape that we were born in, I feel that the expression is very solemn and very real. Born in sin and in the shape of iniquity, the shape. I don't think perhaps a mother looking upon a dear little child, and I love little children, with their little hands and that, and you were to say to them, you know, that child is shapen in iniquity and full of sin. That's the truth. But what a mercy that there is a remedy. Yet an a little while and the world sees me no more than you see him. And the Lord asked the disciples at one time and said, who do men say that I am? He knew. He had real humanity, exactly the same as we have. And some said one thing and some said another, but they didn't know him. They derided him. And it was one of those things that doubtless was a great part of his sorrow and his suffering, knowing who he was, the incomprehensible God, the Son, whose person filled eternity, knowing it, knowing that he could dash this world to pieces, yet submitting to insults, to spitting in the face, smote his sacred head with a reed. But he done with it. He said, yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me. Could he say to us, have you seen him, friend? Not with our mortal eyes have we beheld the Lord. No. But his people will one day. Job says so, with his very eyes and not another's. But he is seen by faith. And it's a better sight until we get to heaven, or those that do get there. I have had a very peculiar feeling for some time now that all divine realities are unseen things. One might say it would be far better, we should understand much more if they could be seen and were tangible and you could take hold of them. But it's spiritual. But ye see me, because I live, and ye shall live also. Now, there is a way in this verse. because I live, ye shall live also. That could never have been said except that the Lord condescended to take human nature. Because I live, he ever did live. He never was, he always is. But this could not be said except for his incarnation, because I live, taking a human nature. The children being partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, so that he could take their place, so that he could discharge his offices to which he was appointed in the covenant of grace. And because I live, ye shall live also. Now there's a point there I do feel is a glorious point in the gospel. And think of it as yours individually. that the Lord Jesus had never taken human nature, he could never have declared, because I live, ye shall live also. Because it was in his human life that he wrought out a salvation for his people. Sin could never be forgiven, but by the blood of Jesus, we were singing about it just now. Nothing but thy blood, O Jesus, can relieve us from our sin. If he had not condescended to be poor, it made him poor to be a man. The glorious, infinite Lord, and for love to his people. And when he took human nature, then he would say, because I live a human life. Therefore, he could be the surety for his people. An angel couldn't. There's no substitute for Christ. And there's no salvation without him. You just look at that few words, it may perhaps give us to see what we haven't seen before in it. Because I live, it may appear that he is the ever-living God, the Son. And because he is that, ye shall live also. That's included in it. But if he had remained in heaven and not come to this earth, he couldn't say, because I live, I feel immensity. He could not die. But because I have come, there's hope. This is a door of hope. I live a human life. And therefore I can keep my Father's commandments. And not only so, I live, and in me all divine perfections meet. When he took human nature, it didn't cease to be God. And all those powers, he was infinite, omniscient, omnipresent, immutable, divine, when he was in human nature. And that is what gives everything that he did a divine authority. And what he gives is a part of himself, whatever blessing. And all those blessings begin with a new birth, where an eternal union is made between sinners and the Lord God Almighty. Nothing can change him. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and so is everything that comes from him. That's in those few words. Because I live a human life, ye shall live also. If the Lord Jesus had never made such a condescension in order to save the church, none could be saved. salvation is not a naked act of omnipotence. Omnipotence is in it, but it is not a naked act of omnipotence as was creation. He said, let there be light, and there was light. Salvation is a work. And the Lord Jesus is a worker. He had a work which his Father gave him to do. And that work was the redemption of every one of his people. And he foreknew them. And so this word speaks and belongs to every one of his people. And there's another thing. Whatever the scriptures say concerning the good of his people, especially the opening of the chapter, I wonder if it belongs to us here. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye shall be also. That's the same today, yesterday, and forever. Because it's spoken by the Lord. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yes, a little while, and the world sees me no more. And never see him here, and never see him in heaven. What a solemn thing if that is our case. Wouldn't matter if we were millionaires. Makes this world look just what it is. It's a dead world. Its best things are but vanity. And you'll feel it. Sometimes the Lord will give you to feel it in a special way when he deals specially with you in affliction, in his chastening, and in his deliverances. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me. Have we seen it, friends? Not with the natural eye. Oh, the sight has a mighty influence within you to draw you to him. It'll bring tears to run down your heart if it doesn't run down your face. But ye see him. Have you ever seen him in divine worship? It was the same faith really as those two godly Greeks. Sirs, we would see Jesus. And Jesus gave them an answer. Except a corn of wheat shall fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. And he died. If he had never died, there'd be no food, no church. And it brought forth much food. It brought forth the whole of the election of grace. Behold, because I live, You show them also something about the line, which is so blessed. And if you think of it, I don't want to make repetitions, but look at it, my friends. It isn't the life, the eternal life of the person of God's dear Son. It is the life of his humanity. If he had never become man, then he could never say, because I live, he should also. He will make his person most precious. He could never root out a righteousness. He could never have condescended to be a surety, a substitute. You look at that, that's one reason. Because I live, because I have taken my nature, and I'm your substitute, you live also. That's the life. What was in it? What was done by it? And he finished the work, there's nothing else to do. And he's done it for his people, and he will do it in them. Salvation has two parts to it. The work the Lord Jesus wrought out in his own person, that's the life in his human nature, that same work wrought out in the heart of a sinner by the Holy Ghost. The same work, the same righteousness. And therefore he said that for his people he is their righteousness, their wisdom, righteousness, sanctification and redemption. At that day, one day, I do feel, you know, that that 16th chapter of Ezekiel, of that infant cast out into the field in all its filth and blood, and none to see to it, that that is our state by nature. But now look at this again. Because I live, and ye shall live also. I think it's worth looking at. Because that's the intention of the scripture. Now when I passed by thee and looked upon thee, behold, thy time was a time of love, and I spread my skirt over thee and covered thy nakedness. Yea, I swear unto thee and entered into a covenant with thee, saith the Lord God, and thou becamest mine. Because I live, ye shall live also. Blessed people. Oh, to know him. Oh, to be saved from ideas and notion of things. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. I don't know who can express the sacredness, the beauty, the glory there is in that text. And that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. Think of it individually. I wonder how many of us are in that position. Well, now you see that his health that brought into union with the Lord Jesus. There's a scripture that is very beautifully suited to that. The 17th of John. The 22nd verse. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them. And this is the reason. And this is the union, the essence of it, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Love them as thou hast loved me, said the Lord Jesus. You think of the love of God. That he loves his people the same as the Father loves him. This couldn't be. That's the union. But doesn't it make the blessed doctrine of the incarnation of Christ a sacred foundation doctrine? At that day, we shall know. There's much we don't know. There's much we don't see while we are here. What the Holy Ghost reveals to us and teaches us, we know. Oh, but those who get to heaven will know him and see him as he is. None can describe heaven, but I do believe, with a very little experience, amounting to about two particular occasions, when the incarnation of the Son of God was made to me the foundation of salvation. Take that away and all will fall to pieces. My meditation of him shall be sweet. I will be glad in the Lord, said the psalmist. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father. There are two opposite things, look contrary upon that point. He says in one place, my Father is greater than I. Well, he isn't. Dare I say it? He said that with respect to his humanity as a man. As a man. Though his glory was seen in his incarnation, yet his Father was greater than a man. But then again he said, I and my Father are one. So he shall be greater than his son. But the distinction there is the human nature of the Lord Jesus and his person, his deity. Oh, to belong to him. Oh, to be a seeker after him. And all this is connected with sin. I thought sometimes that the most glorious subject, although I don't like to call it a subject, is too sacred, too great. But there's no better word for it, I know. That the most glorious subject of the gospel is concerning the most despicable, unspeakable vileness of sin and death. To me in Christ, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me. You don't say he does. If this was something the man's word would be no good at all, but this is inspired, and it is forever settled in heaven, and it belongs to some people, and I believe to some here. You look at the whole of the text that we've read, and then look at yourself. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, there's a glorious Trinity, a mystery which can never be understood, but can be believed by faith. And ye in me, now when you read that, it'll move you by the Spirit to ask him to put you inside of that verse. That day ye shall know I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. You come to the preceding chapter, you find exactly the same union in the figure, you know, of the vine tree. And in the 16th verse there he says, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. Yet a little while, and the world sees me no more, but ye see me. Because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. I don't know that there can be anything more blessed declared about an individual. Oh, I have much exercise and trial about my own case, and I feel it too for the people. Here we are. Our grave is before us, we must be laid in the grave. Dear Mystery, she found the blessedness of the whole of this day, eternity, tremendous self. To guilty souls, a dreadful world. But oh, if Christ and heaven are mine, how sweet the accents, how divine. Have you ever felt that? Oh, there's no substitute for the gospel. We are passing through a wilderness world. It's a very short journey. And this blessed book shows us the way. It's marked out the pathway. It's revealed who this glorious Trinity is and how that it pleased the Father that in Christ should all the fullness dwell. When he sent him, he filled him with a fullness of salvation, a fullness of everything that is saved, but which would not be saving were it not his Son that he sent. There was no other ransom. And I do feel that it is not wrong to look at that 33rd chapter of Job, where they were just about to let down that man, that sinner, into the pit. It's put like that. And they wasn't practically so, because the Lord knows where his people are and who they are. But it was put like that for the exercise of our souls and the blessedness and glory and greatness of being delivered from a deserved hell and made fit for heaven. If any man say, I have sinned and done that which was wrong, then is he gracious unto him and says, I have found a ransom. That's it. I have found a ransom. Deliver him from going down into the pit. As much as to say, we search the world for ransom, something that would be adequate to save this man justly from the pit. He must be just, but we found a ransom, and this is a ransom in the text. And it could be said that poor man was about to go down into the pit. Because I live, ye shall live also. I found a ransom. But I must live. and puff at them and get them to believe that all their religion is mere fancy, that they'll never experience what they think they will, that there's nothing in it. And as we were speaking the other day, the devil will say, this is but that you're following fables. And then when some trial comes, the devil will say, the Lord that you profess to have could have prevented that, but he didn't. Oh, saved by the Lord from every conceivable evil and calamity and sin and hell, saved from hell, and not only saved from these things, but what you're saved to. You're saved to communion with Him, saved to be with Him in heaven and see Him as He is. Happy, happy art thou, O Israel.